Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dan Ahlers has lived in the Del Rapids community where he's been a small business owner for more than two decades. He believes in giving back to the community, and he's done so by serving on various programs alongside being a state legislator for 6 years. He's chosen 2020 to run for U.S. Senate, and he's asking for your vote on November 3rd. Dan Ahlers joins us today. Dan, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we keep saying November 3rd, less than 50 days. I think we're at 49 days, but really those absentee ballots go out September 18th. So people are going to be voting here pretty soon. How is the campaigning going, especially during this time of a pandemic and some challenges with getting out and meeting voters? What's the campaign trail been like for you?
Well, certainly very different than I'm used to. I'm door-to-door campaigner. I like getting out there, meeting people, shaking hands. That's certainly been a little more difficult. You have to be more cautious, but you still have to get out there and meet voters. That's the, you know, when you're asking people to choose you and fill a position and do a job, then they have to get to know you. So I think we've tried to adapt. We do a few more outdoor events. And try and reach people in a variety of different ways with phone calls, postcards, letters, and, a lot of social media, but, not everybody's on social media. And you still got to attract that audience, which is always a challenge, too.
Yeah. So you hit the road, and every once in a while, you've got a tent in the back of the car or the truck or whatever you drive there. And I was looking at you doing a video with some snow on the ground, and you're hitting the campaign trail and camping at the same time. Talk a little bit about why you do that.
Well, it's truly a grassroots campaign. And, we get a lot of supporters. I think last month we had 1,800 plus different donations. Most of those averaging just over $10. So you really got to be frugal with your money. I'm a small business owner. When you're running in a Midwestern state, sometimes the National Democratic Party doesn't pay attention to you. So you've got to do it the old-fashioned way. And I remember, meeting George McGovern and Tom Daschle and those guys, and they did their first elections very much the same way. And along the way, a lot of people have shared stories of their dad traveling around with George McGovern, and they go from town to town, and they'd run out of gas money. They'd sell a sign for $5 and keep going. While it seems kind of silly, my goal is to reach as many voters as I can. So if I stay in a tent, and I love camping, so it's not a big deal. If I'm staying in a tent, I save $35-$40. That's a TV ad or 300 or 400 postcards that I get to send out and reach voters. And that's what I really want to do, is reach the voters, hear what they have to say, and find out what's important to them.
Can you take that mentality to Congress? That not necessarily the tent, but can you take the mentality of every $5 matters when you're making decisions about vast economic policy?
Absolutely. I think you have to. I mean, each dollar we spend is an investment. So if we're really trying to do the best we can for the people that voted for us, for the taxpayers in this country, then you have to really think about each and every dollar and the money that we invest today, how that helps us in the future. And in some cases, in many cases, investing in a few things now, spending a little extra money now, can save us money in the long term.
I want to talk about what's important to people right now, the things that you're hearing, criticisms that you hear about Democrats when you're at the state fair, you posted about that as well, and then the enthusiasm that you hear from people. But particularly, Dan, in this pandemic, when education and healthcare and the infrastructure and the problems that the nation has had and the struggles that South Dakota has had looking to Congress and looking to peer and Policy matters. Who you put in office matters. And I think people are aware of that more than ever. So in that context, what are you hearing from South Dakotans who come up and support you? Let's start there. Who say, you know, you're our guy and we really want to change in Washington. Why? What are they saying the reason for that is?
You know, I think the pandemic that has really pointed at some holes that we have in our healthcare system, things that we need to address in our education system, problems within our economy and our ability to adapt. And I think that, I'm uniquely qualified to take on those challenges because I'm a small business owner. I'm a chamber president. I'm a former legislator with experience in appropriations. And you understand those connections with Medicaid and the state of South Dakota for Social Security and Medicare. And what people are telling me is saying, I want a good job. I want a healthy economy. I want a good education for my kids. And I want affordable health care. And that's what the people of South Dakota have been telling me. And I'm ready to go to work for them and do my best to make sure that they get that.
When I watched the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention, I watched most nights of both of them and came away with a deeper awareness of how divided this country is from the messages that those two parties are sending. And you posted about being at the state fair and having someone come up and say, you know, this is socialism. We don't want democratic socialism. We don't want that. Did you see some of the residual impact of that national message here in South Dakota? And how do you respond to the, you know, straight up accusation that you're a socialist because you're a Democrat?
Yeah, well, that's the danger of labels. You know, we go around and we put people in little boxes and we define them that way. And I've had people come up and say, well, you're a gun-stealing baby killer. And that, you know, it's hurtful, it's personal. But I look at them and simply go, would you like me to refer to you as a homophobic racist then because you're Republican? Because that's what I'm seeing on TV. Nobody wants to be put in those boxes. And once you do that, you set that out there, it's amazing how quickly people are like, whoa, 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 I'm not a racist. I'm like, well, okay then. And I go back to the three things that I talked about and mentioned just a few seconds ago: a good job, a quality education, and access to affordable health care. Those aren't Republican or Democrat issues. Those are people issues. And while our parties are out there talking about all these things and throwing all this rhetoric out there, the people here in South Dakota, the people in this country, are really looking for those three things. I mean, they want good, you know, they want a clean environment, and they want, you know, a variety of other things. But when it comes down to it, the things that we want the most are really not any different, regardless of the party that we belong to. Yeah. And it's my job to make sure that if I'm there representing you in Washington, that I set aside the fact that the person sitting next to me is a Republican. And we got to be able to sit down, have a conversation about how we're going to get this done. We may not always agree on how we're going to get there, but we need to find a way to get there. And if you're open to having those conversations, if you're open to putting those labels aside, then we can actually get something done.
We have learned a lot about access to affordable health care in South Dakota during the pandemic, from the impact of living in a rural area, in a reservation in South Dakota, the impact of broadband and, you know, not having access to telehealth, to lack of Medicaid expansion. Where do you begin when you think, and in Washington, there's the Affordable Care Act and pieces that have been, you know, nullified after the Obama administration and this huge battle over, Dennis Dugard used to say, if you ask people about affordable health care, they're in. If you say Obamacare, they're out. So there's these huge labels that have been placed on this idea of health care in America. Where do you begin, other than this idea that you need to, you know, sort of drop away some of these barriers and obstacles and rhetoric, from a policy standpoint, What's the first step to take to look at healthcare infrastructure and access to healthcare and access to health insurance and make progress? Because I think almost everybody agrees that it's broken.
Yeah, and I think what Governor Dugard said is correct. I mean, when you say the Affordable Care Act, people are like, yes, I'm all in. So, aside from the labels, I think, some of the things that we can do is make the Medicaid waiver process a little bit easier, and that would certainly benefit South Dakota. What you find is you have a system where it's all or none. If you make a dollar more than the max, you lose all your benefits. And I've had, over the years, people come in with the dilemma. I had a single mom come into my store. She's like, Dan, I'm not sure what to do. I work part-time right now. My kids get Medicaid benefits. She doesn't, because we don't do that in South Dakota. And she said, I've been offered a full-time position at my job, but if I take it, I lose health care coverage for my children, but I don't make enough with that pay increase to buy health care for my children. And that's really the problem. We've got to figure out how that we're going to sit down and allow people to work their way off of these programs. They don't want to be on the programs, but if you have to choose between health care for your kids and a few extra hours at work, you're going to choose health care for your kids. And the system shouldn't work that way, and people shouldn't be forced to make those choices. And we have to look for those gaps in healthcare coverage, and we have to start eliminating the cause for those. Then, prescription medication is an area that you see a lot of increase in costs and maybe profits that shouldn't be, especially when we invest so much money as taxpayers into the research for these Class A drugs. Tens of millions of dollars every year get invested in research. And if the taxpayers are investing in this through the government into this research, then we should have a say in how much those companies can charge when they're receiving those taxpayer dollars. And on the generics, there should be a 200 to 400% profit on those types of items. So we really need to sit down and find what's driving those costs. I don't want to completely blame the drug companies, but I think we need to get the whole story, find out why these prices are so high, and find out how we can drive them down, because they're not as expensive in other countries. And you just go to Canada and find that the drugs are quite a bit cheaper. There's a reason for that, and we need to figure out why we're doing such a poor job at keeping these prices low for our consumers.
Yeah, I spent $300 for a prescription last month, and yesterday I got one for $6. I felt like I'd won the lottery that day.
Right.
But part of it is this inconsistent surprise, too, is every time you go to the pharmacy, and that creates a sense of hesitation, not wanting to go, not wanting to stand there and tell the pharmacist, I can't pay for that. I didn't know it was going to be that expensive. There's a whole burden that keeps people from getting the care that they need, as well as things are so confusing. We'd like to have you. Yeah, go ahead.
There just needs to be transparency in that billing process too. I mean, it shouldn't be a guessing game for you. You shouldn't have to be wondering how much it's going to cost for that checkup, or how much it's going to cost for that prescription. You should be able to know that ahead of time. I mean, there needs to be a little more transparency in medical billing and prescription medications.
Yeah. Well, Dan Ahlers, it is the season, so we'll be talking to you frequently between now and November 3rd. Thank you for spending time with us today.
And thank you for having me on.